And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Yeah, we're Blooper Team. Hello in our office. It's not going live, right?
What's up, everyone? This is Joe doing another interview. Today we have a special call in. Would you like to introduce yourself for us?
Hi, my name is Rafael, and I'm from Blooper Team.
And Blooper Team,
you made layers of you.
Yes, I was just going to say, you guys are the sick and twisted minds behind Layers of Fear.
Yeah.
It has been picking up a lot of steam so far this Halloween. It is becoming the go-to Halloween title for some.
That's great to hear, actually.
For those who don't know what Layers of Fear is, would you like to give us the sales pitch and explain what the game is?
Sure. Layers of Fear is a psychedelic horror game where each move of your main character can actually change the environment that surrounds you. Like, basically, each move of your mouse, of the camera, can shift everything around you. So, like, that's the most important aspect of the game. So, in Layers of Fear, you play as a mad painter that strives to create his magnum opus, which is a masterpiece artwork. So, that's the main goal of the game. And you will traverse a source of a haunted house that will change dynamically around you while you will traverse it. So, yeah.
You guys have done something incredibly effective with the game, and that is you have made a horror game that can actually scare the shit out of people.
Yeah, that was like the intent of the game.
So many developers are like, our game is the scariest, it's going to freak everybody out. And then you play it and it's just, like Resident Evil. They used to give you those good scares. Like, I will never forget the dog jumping through the window in Resident Evil 1. And now it's just a run and gun franchise where Layers of Fear, it will scare you. It will absolutely, like, no exaggeration at all when I say it is the scariest game I have ever witnessed or played ever.
That's really, really nice to hear. The difference between our game and most of the games on the market right now is that we wanted to focus on the experience itself, not make the game a survival game, like basically all of the other titles where you have to, I know, either kill or run from the monsters. In Layers of Fear, we are trying to scare people purely on the atmosphere, the music, the sounds, and the environment. The overall atmosphere of the game is the thing that should scare you, and it's really nice to hear that actually people are scared. They are getting immersed in the game so much that they are telling that, well, that's the most scary thing they have ever played, and it's the best thing we can hear from the community.
Yeah, our own Pappy has been playing it. He streamed it on YouTube twice. We have one half of the playthrough up on our own YouTube page right now. We're still working with getting the other half up there. There's also a highlights video, and his honest-to-God reactions in the video, that was him streaming it live for the first time. And I was watching him because my computer couldn't handle it, and we got a Steam code for it first, so we let Pappy play. And I'm sitting there. I have the lights on in my house. I have football playing on the TV, and I'm losing my mind at what's going on in the game. I have all these distractions, and I can't even imagine what it's like for someone playing for the first time with the lights off, no distractions, and then just everything happening in that game.
Yep, it's of course better to play it like in the dark with your headphones on. It's a lot of more immersing the game. But yeah, if people can actually focus on the game and don't get distracted by everything that surrounds them. I believe the game could be as scary in the daytime, but really, we as a company prefer that people play it actually in the dark because of the atmosphere that has to be triggered in a way. The mindset of someone playing has to be correct to actually perceive the game as we wanted. But yeah, we've heard of people who played like in midday with open windows and the sun, going around the room, and they were scared also. So yeah, we advise to play in the dark, but hey, whatever makes you happy.
Have you guys experienced any fatalities over scared people yet? Like just their hearts giving out while playing?
No, actually not, and that's a good thing.
I was going to say, is it your goal to have someone's heart stop while playing the game?
No. Although it would seem like a good marketing pitch, but yeah, we don't want no fatalities to come from our game. But we've watched a lot of Twitch streams, YouTube Let's Plays, and stuff like that, and we saw a lot of crazy shit, actually. Like a guy, I don't recall, he was Dane from Denmark, probably. The guy played like the whole game with a teddy bear in his arms because he was so scared.
That is fantastic.
The other time, I saw a guy that stopped mid game, actually almost cried and decided to quit the game because he couldn't play anymore because he was so scared, and like that Twitch community that was watching him was constantly saying that he must go on, and he like tried for half an hour to move from one room to another, and then when he finally did that, something awful happened. I don't remember what the room was about, but he just like hit escape and just left the game and left the stream.
It's actually become a hobby of mine. Before I got the Xbox code from you guys, which I thank you for, because now I'm waiting for my wife to get home. She's coming. She's working out of town for today and tomorrow. When she comes home, I'm going to make her play it Halloween night, and I can't wait to see her reactions to it. But before I had that code and I could play it myself, my hobby was watching other people play it on Twitch, because I saw Pappy play it and I knew a lot of the stuff coming up, which would be big jump scares or really creepy shit happening. And I would sit there smiling and happy when I knew what was going to happen. And when they absolutely freaked the fuck out and scream, it made my day. It was a whole new form of people watching.
Yeah, that's also why the horror genre is so popular on streams and walkthroughs, because it's good material to actually show people, and people love to watch other people get scared shitless. So, yeah.
And the good thing with it is, like you said before, unlike games like Resident Evil or Fatal Frame or Silent Hill, there's nothing that you can really do. Like, there's no monster to fight. It's not a survival horror game. It is a horror puzzle game, if anything.
Yeah, the main idea was, as I said before, like, focus on the experience. We wanted the atmosphere to be the most important part of the game. So the moment we knew we have done it, we're very happy of what we had. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it helps a lot with gamers like me. Like, I love the atmosphere of survival horror games. I just hate the game part of most survival horror games. Like, I want to watch people play Silent Hill. I don't want to play it myself. I don't want to slowly swing a giant pipe and hope to hit a monster, and if I miss, I die. I want to watch someone else deal with that while I just enjoy the atmosphere and the scares, which is what you're letting me do in Layers of Fear. You are letting me get scared and not aggravated by dying against monsters.
Yeah, that was the main principle. We didn't want to go the same path as most companies do. We can see a lot of indie titles that are going the way we have went with our game, but then again, they don't have the budgets and they don't have the manpower to actually make such a big game to make it as immersive. So the idea that on Steam there's a lot of horror games that most of people say that it's crap, like, it's not really true, because the ideas behind them are really great, but just the sheer lack of funding and the manpower to make like great ideas into something that looks really good is something that's still left there to someone pick up, I know, the torch and make it happen. So we are trying to do this. We knew that making a game that would be purely atmospheric has to have good graphics and good sound quality, because if we haven't had that, the game wouldn't be as successful as it is right now.
Yeah, and the game absolutely looks amazing. Visually, that game blows me away. That is, it's getting a lot of comparisons to how good PT looked.
Yeah, we get it, and we are really stoked about this. Like, so awesome for us to read all the positive comments, like, on the graphic side, on the story-wise side. Like, we get a lot of critical comments that actually don't throw shit at us, but actually they are telling really, really wise things to us, things that we want to consider. The feedback is really great, but mostly there are positive comments like, I love the graphics because of XYZ arguments, right? So we get a ton of that, and it's just so awesome. Like, yeah, it's hard to describe. The community that gather around the game is really, really great, and we are very thankful for them for being here with us.
And it's definitely good when critics out there will actually be critical and, like, tell you what's wrong and what they don't like, instead of just saying, this game blows 4 out of 10.
Yeah, that's true. And we don't get such comments like, the game sucks 2 out of 10. don't get it. We get a lot of critical opinions, and that's really great for us. But that's, I believe, it's connected with the thing that we have actually released the game on Steam Early Access. And if the game would first, the game is not finished.
Yeah. You talking about critical reviews, it brings me to a question I was going to ask. Bloober Team had a fairly rough start with their first PS4 game, Basement Crawl.
Yeah, that's true.
What was the story behind that? And it came out to a fairly harsh reception, and I think I'm being kind of nice when I say fairly harsh.
Yeah, well, the thing with Basement Crawl was we actually had a great idea for the game, but like, the scope of the game like, overwhelmed us a bit. So we had all those great ideas and wanted to make that game, but like, the experience we had was like maybe not enough. So we had a vision for the game, the ideas for it, and well, just it didn't stuck together. But after releasing Basement Crawl, we had that experience from the production time, and we actually knew we had to do something about this. So we hired a few veteran game developers who helped us out. And in a year, we have remodeled the game almost entirely. Like, the base principles of the game stuck, and they went onto the new project that is called Brawl. And after a year of production, actually, the game looked like we wanted to make it like the previous year. So it took us a year longer to actually make the project that we wanted, and we are happy with what we have achieved. Bro got like a lot better reviews, and yeah, it's on Steam and it's on PS4. And to say sorry for the people who actually bought Basement Crawl, because we knew it was not that good, we actually sent the copies of Brawl like for free. So Basement Crawl was a basis for what we did later on with Brawl. That's why the name has changed. We didn't make a update or a patch to Basement Crawl to make it better. We just made an entire new game based on those principles. So if you like old school arcade games, that takes a lot of contemporary gameplay mechanics into place, and you like competitive games and as well as party games, you might want to check out Brawl. It's a great party game, and yeah, Halloween is like today, so or tomorrow.
Yeah, I gotta say, your company has a lot of balls for stepping up, admitting that what you released wasn't that good and it wasn't what you guys intended to release. It was a learning experience, and not only did you go back and make the experience into a better game, you earned a lot of goodwill from people by giving the people who bought it the new upgraded Brawl. And I think that bought you a lot of goodwill towards Layers of Fear, where if it were most other developers who released a critically panned game, they wouldn't give the next title a second look. But it seems that the community has really embraced you for admitting the screw up, and they're wholeheartedly giving you this second chance. And you guys are nailing it. Like,
yeah, thanks. I believe that's in the gaming community, actually, the company is not that, like, the company's name, the brand is not all that important. Like, the game, if they are good, someone will actually notice them, and the game then starts to defend on its own. So, yeah, it's really great for us that actually people forgave us for Basement Crawl and actually still play Brawl and enjoy it. And, yeah, that was really great for us, but we have another project like Layers of Fear, and most of the community that has gathered around the game actually didn't know about Brawl or Basement Crawl for that matter. So it's more of a, like, each title will defend itself if it's good. So yeah.
All right, so Basement Crawl and Brawl were both PS4 titles. Layers of Fear, you guys jumped over to the Xbox One. What was the thought process behind kind of switching teams there?
Well, Brawl is actually also on Steam. That's like an old. Layers of Fear, we believe that the console gaming community lacks horror games because are most, and it's still like a niche genre. Like, there are a few titles that actually made mainstream, like Outlast or Amnesia. Those are just a few titles. The most horror games are actually stuck on PC. So yeah. we want to go to consoles because we believe a lot of horror fans actually don't play on their PCs. They don't buy the high-end computers to actually play games, and they buy them to actually work. So having a console market open for us, we just wanted to try, well, maybe to broaden our community and the market that we, that the people that we can provide the game and show them the game, simple mechanics that are in Layers of Fear work great with consoles. So I believe it would be a mistake on our side to not actually try to go to consoles. So, yeah.
Is Layers of Fear eventually going to make its way over to PlayStation as well?
Actually, I don't know yet because Microsoft has reached out to us about Layers of Fear, and we were talking a lot about the game. And they wanted us to go to the game preview program, which is quite new to the Xbox. And that's why we have launched on Xbox One. And for now, we like want to finish the Xbox One version and the PC version. So we are not focusing on expanding to other platforms.
Makes sense.
At the moment. We know that people want it, and we just don't know if we can make it.
Yeah, it's a manpower kind of deal, I guess.
Yeah, basically.
On the flip side, is there any chance that Brawl might make its way to Xbox One?
Maybe. I don't really know because, it's also, you know, you had to take a part of the team and actually try to make a port, which takes time, which takes QA tests into consideration and stuff like that. We are not planning those things right now. We are focused on Layers of Fear for the PC and Xbox One versions. And when they are ready, we might think about doing other stuff. But for now, no, sorry. Sorry, Xbox fans. For now, no.
Well, we're Xbox fans here, so I couldn't do the interview and not ask if that game was going to come over or not. So I'm happy we have Layers of Fear. I'm excited about that. Before I ask too many questions, Pappy, since he put a lot of time into it, he sent us an email with a handful of questions that he wanted me to ask you since he couldn't be here himself. I will start at the top of his email. He says, good afternoon, because he sent this yesterday, so good morning. Here are the questions I have concerning Layers of Fear. Some of them are a bit on the silly question mode. Number one, there seems to be a lot of pure psychological horror in this game, and while that's not unusual with PCs, but now it's a console title, which is a very rare occurrence for the genre. What were the influences from games and film that went into it?
Well, in Bluebird Team, we have a very dedicated horror fan base. Like, almost everyone here reads I Know King, watches Carpenter and other famous movies, and like we breathe horror basically. Like the company has been on the market since 2008, and actually the first thing we wanted to make was a horror game, which was called Sadness. Sad enough, we didn't have the experience to make it happen, so we had to scrap the idea, actually, and move to other projects. But, yeah, so, like, from the very beginning, we wanted to make a horror game. Almost everyone in the team is a horror fan, so there are Lovecraft fans. We read a lot of comic books that are horror-oriented and stuff like that, but it's just, we couldn't do any other games, actually, as a company. So we love horror. We have played, like, Phantasmagoria in the day. We have played Fatal Frame. We have played, like, almost every horror that's on the market. So, yeah, like, it's hard to actually pinpoint one or two obvious inspirations for us. It's like a big mashup of the whole culture of horror.
It's nice hearing Fatal Frame and Phantasmagoria get shout-outs. I remember my early experiences with Phantasmagoria, and me and my friends all huddled around a computer with all, like, 9 CDs that the game came on.
Yeah, 9 or 7, I don't really recall. But
something ridiculous. You needed a CD case just for that game. And us all like, oh my god, there's boobs in this game. How are they doing this?
Yeah. Those were the days.
Good old early CD live-action video games with nudity in it that somehow our parents didn't freak out about.
Yeah, the times have changed, actually.
Yeah, now there's tits in, like, every game anymore. They're kind of just, I don't know, they're another thing now.
Yeah, that's true. I don't really know why it has happened, because, like, we are getting more and more afraid of nudity in games, like, not politically correct, which in Europe we don't really like that much. It's more obvious in US, of course. But yeah, it's something I believe will change with time when people actually get accustomed that video gaming is a culture movement like any other media out there, like television and books and stuff like that. So with time we'll get normal, because right now games are picked as the media for kids.
Yeah.
And it still haven't changed. It's a loop, actually, because when games came to the global market and the first consoles, stuff like that, there were a lot of I know R-rated titles.
Custer's Revenge. I'll never forget that one.
Yeah, so we moved from that to a more politically correct times.
Yeah, it's dumb. I don't like it. Whatever. America's stupid.
It will probably make a loop sometimes in the future, but yeah, we get what we get for now.
In America, you're totally cool with murdering millions of people and saying fuck constantly, but if you show a nipple, watch out. Gotta protect the kids.
Yeah, that's really absurd.
Pappy's second question, we kind of discussed a little bit. He says, the game is getting a lot of attention in the Let's Play community. How do you feel about it being the go-to horror game for the season?
Yep. As I said before, we are really stoked about it. And when we were showing the game for the first time, announcing Layers of Fear, we were afraid that all the walkthroughs and all the gameplay that would be shown would make people actually not buying the game because, well, I had seen everything. And we were discussing whether to actually... we were actually discussing whether to try to, force people to play like for 15 minutes of the game and that's it. But we risked it maybe to actually make people play the whole game and actually show it to the whole world because we didn't think that showing a 15-minute footage would actually do game any good because you can't show the atmosphere and the mood that's in the game like in 15 minutes. You have to get immersed in it. So
I actually think the whole allowing the streaming and watching people play it has helped because I have seen so many different people out there streaming it themselves have been like, oh yeah, I saw this part. I was watching another playthrough. I'm going to open it. Oh my God, what the hell's going on? And they freak out no matter what because it's just that good. So even if you know it's coming, you might still jump or it might just be different enough than you remember that it's still going to freak you the fuck out.
Yeah, and we are very stoked about this, that it has such an influence on people. Like, as you said, you know what will happen and you still get freaked out. It's like the most gratifying thing about the whole project for us, actually. So, yeah. We love the community. We love to watch people stream it. We often try to comment on things that happen in the stream. Like, we are watching the streams and we are active, like, on the channel and try to talk with people. So, we are trying to be as close to the community and thank them for all the good publicity they gave us.
I know recently you guys just put out a new update to the game, and I hadn't been able to experience any of that myself yet. And right before the stream, right before our interview, I was watching a stream of a guy playing through that new Ouija board room. And I was getting creeped out big time. Like, he would type in fear and that monster would pop up on the wall. And it was just that shit was freaking me out.
Yeah, we wanted to make a content update because, we're on early access in September. And the most things we have updated are actually technical aspects. And we don't want to like throw in two or three rooms and say, yeah, it's a big content update, like play the game once more because there are three new rooms actually to play. So we didn't want that. We want to make a one or two big content updates where we will add a lot of rooms that will exponentially make the game longer. So as Halloween was nearing, we were thinking about making something cool. So the idea for the event came to life. So the spirit board thing was the first thing that came to our heads. And being the game that actually shifts the environment around you was the perfect match. Like, the idea was great, so we went with it.
How many different things can you do in that spirit board room? Because I saw the guy typing in a handful of different things and all these weird different experiences would happen. Like, I don't want to give too much away, I did enjoy when he typed child and just crayons exploded everywhere.
There's 48 unique effects that can be triggered in the room. However, some effects can be triggered by typing different words. So I don't really know how many keywords you can type in to make something happen. I haven't ever counted it. There are 48 different effects that you can trigger in the room.
Now, is that update on the Steam and the Xbox versions, or just Steam?
It's on Steam right now. We didn't make it in time to actually update the Xbox version. We have to test out the room because the Xbox One version is fairly young.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had to test out some of the things. We are hoping to bring the update to Xbox One fans before Halloween. But I don't really know if we can make it happen. We hope we do. We just need to test some things out. And if the build seems correct and nothing fucks up, we hope we will bring the update before Halloween. But nothing, I cannot give you a 100% guarantee on that.
Yeah.
We hope we can.
Is that Spirit Board Room, is that a permanent addition to the game, or is that just a timed Halloween kind of thing?
The timed Halloween thing. It's going to last for a month, and then you won't be able to come back to the room. So, yeah, if you want to see everything that will happen in the room, you have to buy the game right now, or at least for the upcoming month. It's like we wanted to make something for the community that supports us from the beginning. So giving them a lot of cool stuff that they can actually interact, and like the event for the Steam version was for the first three people who actually find all of the effects, those people will be immortalized in the game as portraits. So yeah, that was an idea to reward the community.
Have three people found everything yet?
Yeah, actually they did it in like 3 hours or something like that.
Oh god.
They actually collaborated, so we have a big deal in choosing those three people right now, but yeah, we have everything ready. We just haven't announced the winners yet. We'll be the cool guys that will make them wait for the announcement. Like, they still don't know whether they won or not. So yeah, we're going to do it probably soon. But yeah, three people will be chosen, and their portraits will be added to the game, and they will be able to find themselves somewhere in the rooms in the game.
That's a pretty awesome prize package to be in the game.
Yeah, it was actually the idea of our CEO, which is a very cool guy, so he's cool with things like that, so it's really, really awesome to actually be a part of this.
Is there any consideration to making the Spirit Board Room a permanent addition, maybe sometime down the line?
Maybe somewhere down the line, or maybe it may be like an annual event that we'll do like every year on Halloween.
That would be neat.
Like with different keywords that you can type in and stuff like that. We still don't know what we will do with this in the future. For now, we know it will be a month exclusive content that will be dropped down from the game at the end of November.
That sounds pretty cool. I think annual would be really neat. And maybe for next year's annual event, if someone enters in SML, they'll get like a Halloween themed version of our show's theme song playing. That'd be neat.
We can collaborate on that. yeah, actually, I don't know what will happen with this. We have a few ideas, things that, well, obviously I can't talk about right now because, yeah, For now, just consider that the room will be out of the game in a month's time. So if you want to witness it and play it, it's best you do it right now because, like I said, no guarantees what will happen with the event in the future.
And if I'm right, the game's on sale right now too, isn't it?
Yes, on Steam it's on the Halloween sale. It's discounted by 25%. So we will be able to get the game for under $10. It's like $9.74 or something like that. So yeah, it's a great occasion to actually grab the game.
Yeah, sounds like the absolute perfect time to do it. And then you can stream it tonight, and then you can have a heart attack. And then Bloober Team gets an awesome little notch in their press release of fatalities.
Yeah, seriously, no fatalities, please.
Pappy's next question is, did the game cause any lasting psychological damage? Because I know watching him play it may have caused lasting psychological damage to me.
Well, I don't believe anyone from the production team was hurt during the production. But I don't know. Well, the game is scary, and actually plays with your mind a lot. But I believe it's more rather a wow effect of the whole game rather than I'm not going to sleep for a week after playing this game. So, the game is scary, of course, but don't demonize the whole idea of the game. So, yeah. No. As far as I know, no one has been hurt playing the game. Although two Greek guys were playing and one just freaked out so much that he actually dropped down from his chair and didn't want to stand up from the ground for like half a minute or something like that.
That is amazing. So none of the developers right now are huddled in a corner shaking and just going, the paintings, I see the paintings.
No, nothing like that. So yeah, everything is cool on our side and we are constantly creating the game and yeah, everything is cool.
His next question is, has it been fun seeing the game gain so much popularity?
Yeah, as I said before, it's really, really awesome how much love the game has gotten from the community. And we are still traveling the world, showing the game on different events and conferences. And there's a lot of people who actually haven't heard about the game. And it's really cool to show them and actually let them play the game for the first time. There's a running joke in the company, actually, that a few people would like want to forget the last year so they can actually come to the office tomorrow and play the game for the first time in their lives. So, we are still presenting the game and we are still getting new feedback. We are still getting private messages that say, well, your game is really great. And it's like the most awesome feeling you can actually witness as a developer. So, yeah, we're completely stoked about this.
Yeah, I know in the one email I sent to you after watching Pappy play the first time, I think I said that I mean this in the most charming way possible, but you guys are fucked up.
Yeah. We get that sometimes emails like that also. So, yeah.
It's a good kind of fucked up, not the bad kind, the good kind.
Yeah. Like, I do understand. So, yeah.
You guys are saying that awesome. you're hoping the game will be done in the next 3 months or so. Are you worried that the fandom and the popularity might cool off before the game is completely finished?
You publish a game on early access, it's like you have to consider it that it's a fully published game. Like you don't have the courtesy of actually thinking about the early access version, like the early access version, because when you publish it, the official release, it won't get that much media attention. So we knew about this, And we have decided to make a few steps, make the game maybe more important for the media to write about the official release. And so, like, we have got a huge, well, maybe not a huge, but a lot of the story has been cut from the game. So we won't spoil the game that much to people who actually support us. And we are planning to add that last storylines and stuff like that only after the official release. So we are not adding the plot to the game right now, and we won't until the final release, so that people actually can treat the release of Layers of Fear later in the future like a full-fledged release. And yeah, also, you know, like, if we bring the whole plot right now to the people, they were like, yeah, the game was cool, we liked it, and, like, you know, let's move on. So by doing this and doing a lot of other stuff that we are doing around the game, we make people constantly interested in it. The addition of new rooms and stuff like that. Before the official release, we are planning to change some stuff that is actually in the game right now to make things look fresh or new. So you might expect a lot of things to change.
So when the full game comes out, it'll make sense to start the game over again and play through everything. You'll see new story, changed up things, everything like that.
Yes, that's basically it. It's a single player game that's actually focused on experience. So you find everything that's in the game right now. You don't have that. You just don't want to play the game again, like, in 3 months, because you know the game. So we wanted to make steps just so you will actually have the need to play the game once more, and you won't feel that you have seen everything before while playing it. So that was the main idea behind all of it.
That is a perfect way to do it, because I know one of my friends, he streamed it. He's like, oh, it just ends here. I wonder if when the full game comes out, I'll pick up from here, if I'm going to have to play it all over again. And knowing that not only will he have to play it all over again, but it'll be different, makes me want to watch him stream it again.
Yeah, so that was the idea, basically.
All right, Pappy's final question. This is his favorite question that he likes to ask all developers. What do you guys play when you're taking a break from making Layers of Fear? How do you relax and unwind after making a game meant to disturb everybody?
Yeah, we should actually play some more horror games, like Soma, for instance, or other weird stuff. But yeah, I cannot say for the whole team, right, what are they are playing their free time, but there's a few favorites. Like, we have a few huge fans of Dark Souls. So that's a game that most of the team actually looks out for. So the third installment will be soon on the market. So, yeah, everyone's stoked here about it. I personally... actually trying to play from my backlog. Like, I'm playing Sleeping Dogs right now, like, after a few years after the release. So it's not like that we have a favorite genre, but of course, as big horror fans, most of the team has finished Soma right now, and they will probably move on to other horror titles that are out there, so... Yeah, from horror to horror. It's our life now.
How are you enjoying Sleeping Dogs?
I actually really like it. It's really great. I like the story, and I really love the setting. And yeah.
Did you get
Did you get
the definitive edition with all the DLC included?
Yes, I have.
Have you tried the Nightmare DLC stuff yet? Because again, they're bringing horror to the game for you.
Yeah, not yet, actually. I'm like an hour or two into the game. But yeah, I'm getting more and more hyped for it. So whenever I have free time, I'm trying to play this. But yeah, I will definitely try that out, because I know it exists. And yeah, I just want to finish the main story before I delve into any DLC, actually.
Yeah, I had such a blast with Sleeping Dogs. I loved it on the 360. I actually picked it up again on the Xbox One. It was such a great game.
Yeah, I totally dig this game. And like I said, I was like stoked for it since day one it has reached the market. I just didn't have the time to actually play it. So yeah, now is the time to actually finish some backlog games for me. It's one of them.
How long has Layers of Fear been in development so far?
Well, I actually cannot say because I'm like kind of new to the company. I'm like four months working here, and the game itself was in production before. But why I really cannot say when it all happened, because like we were working on another project, and there was this idea to make the environment shift in real time. So we have prototyped it and actually loved the idea, but it didn't suit that much the game we were doing this for. So the idea stuck for some time, and when the time came, we just said, like, this is such a great idea. Let's do something with this. And a lot of new people at the time came to the company, like people who worked on Witcher series, for instance.
Ooh.
Previously. So they came into the office and they looked at that idea and said, like, this is really great. Let's make something out of it. And yeah, we actually just made a project from a concept that was made to another game. And it actually looks really great, as you can see. And it works really great. And yeah, so the first concept of the idea was like done, I don't know, like a year ago, maybe earlier. I don't really know. But the game has been in production for a few months at least. Like, I don't know. I really don't know. Sorry, I cannot just answer that because I don't know. Like, if you would take the whole team right now and ask them, when was the first concept made for Layers of Fear? They would like, yeah, we don't know.
I noticed that you mentioned that people have enjoyed the Dark Souls titles. What is it with game developers that Dark Souls is like the most popular answer to that question of when, what do you play to relax from developing a game?
I believe that a lot of game developers right now are people who enjoyed playing games in 1990s, maybe in the late 80s, and they were brought up on really hard games that were actually really hardcore. And that, of course, shifted with time. The games got easier and easier, and that fresh breeze of air that the Dark Souls brought with it, like the old school type of experience, just makes the game so popular. And well, the game is dark and gritty, which is also something I don't know why developers love. Like, you know, you sit in front of your computer for like 8 to 10 hours a day with in a dark room because the sun is like bad for you. So yeah, the setting, it all comes together in a way.
I'm just so surprised that it seems every other person we ask what game do you play to relax, Dark Souls doesn't really seem like a good relaxation game because of how tough and frustrating it could be. But it is such a popular answer among developers. It's really cool to hear that.
Yeah, it's also, it might be frustrating at times, but if you get a hang of the whole gameplay system, because it's not that you have to learn each enemy's moves to actually play the game correctly. You just have to get a grasp of the overall gameplay mechanics. And if you get that, and then the game gets really awesome because you feel like you are really, really powerful and you can destroy those huge-ass monsters that are on your way. So it's satisfying for the developers. Maybe also because they are familiar with how you make a game and finding those patterns and how it all works together is something that actually drives them towards the game. It's like you could probably publish an article on that, like a study. Why developers like to play Dark Souls. But yeah, I'm not the guy to do it. So I don't know. Maybe there's something into it. A lot of things actually come together if you think about it.
I might have to look into doing some more research on that. I'll just hit up all the developers I've talked to over the past couple of months and be like, why the hell do you guys like Dark Souls so much?
Yeah.
That could be a popular little article. If only I had the ambition and drive to do something like that.
Yeah, I know how it gets.
You mentioned that the whole team loves horror games. Has anybody there that you know of picked up the new Fatal Frame on the Wii U?
Our developer, our game designer, Michał Król, who was actually recently featured on Rely on Horror's Defining Horror series, which is very cool for him and actually for us also.
It's pretty awesome.
He has a Wii U, and he actually said something about buying this. So I don't know whether he actually played it or will play it or whatever, but I know he has it on his schedule.
That's something that's kind of been on my radar, but I'm just not sure how well done it is. I know the Fatal Frame. Is it Project Zero over there? Is that the European name?
Yeah. I really don't know in what region the name is called, but yeah, those are the two. The Zero One and
so many different names for it worldwide, but I don't know how good it is. I know the Europeans on the Wii, they got a remake of, I believe, Fatal Frame 2, but that never came to America. Fatal Frame 4 never left Japan at all. It's just good to see a new Fatal Frame game come out that's not only in Japan.
Yeah, that's true. Because a lot of games don't leave Japan for reasons unknown to me, actually, because they are good games, and there are a lot of fans of Japanese games worldwide, although it is said that the Japanese market gets worse and worse, which is probably not true. It's just that we get less and less Japanese games out here, and those which we actually get are the AAA titles that don't really make up, I know, for the expectations of the community. Like, you get a Japanese game, it has to be like perfect. 40 out of 40 on Famitsu. So, yeah.
it's just so weird that such a big franchise like Fatal Frame Project Zero didn't get a worldwide release for the last title. And I wonder if that was just Nintendo being Nintendo or if it... I don't know. It's just so weird. So
it's like if Yakuza series, which actually came to the European and US market a year or later after the Japanese release... Or the same goes for Final Fantasy games. Like, it's always such a long period of waiting before something gets shipped out of Japan and published in US and Europe. I really don't know why it all happens, because it's not like you have to localize the game for a year. So, yeah, I don't really know. I don't understand this, and I believe it. Thanks, only bad press for the Japanese.
Yeah, who knows? Language differences, and at least Square Enix is trying to get worldwide releases more frequently for their RPGs, which is good.
It is, true.
So, what else is there to talk? I think we covered pretty much everything for Layers of Fear. Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss about the game?
Actually, I don't believe I have anything more to add than maybe say once again that we really adore the community which is gathered around the game, and we are very thankful for them, for their support and feedback and everything they gave us. Maybe one more thing connected to this I would like to add, because a lot of people said that going with a single player game for an early access release was a very bad idea, because, well, not everyone thought that the early access is meant for single player games. And we're like, well, it's great for single player games. You get a lot of feedback that actually can help you create a game that will fit all of the right places on the market. And yeah, a lot of people didn't believe that we can do it. And actually, we're sitting on 97% of positive reviews on Steam.
That is fantastic to hear. It's, how does it feel to just basically prove everyone wrong?
It's really great, and we are very, very stoked that we have made it, because we believe that early access is a great platform. It's a bit overused, and of course the media like to talk about games that actually fucked up. So, like, people who came to the early access got a ton of money and then decided to not make the game. And it's rarely covered in media outlets, the games that actually did good, the access. So it's always nice to be the ones who are doing great, and we are trying to talk as much as we can about the early access experiences. So a lot of other developers are afraid of actually trying to go to early access because of it. So yeah, we urge you try to do this, because you get a lot of feedback that will help you with your game. Although you have to be sure that the state of the game that you want to publish is something that won't last for, I don't know, 20 minutes, or will be very hollow. Like, there won't be much to do in the game. So I urge you to try early access, because we believe it's a great platform and it did wonders for us. And yeah, that's all. Thank you.
How long do you see the final game being time-wise? I know some people have been able to get through the current early access stuff in about 2 hours. Do you think the final playtime will end up being?
Well, the two-hour things is like, the game is tailored in a way that you, if you want to, like, in a way, speed run the game, like go through the rooms, trying to get as much of the scares you can get along the way, as much as horror you can get, then the game lasts for about like 2 hours, as you said. But the game is heavily focused on exploration, and we tell the story by finding items that actually bring back memories about from our protagonist's life. So if you take the time and actually study the game and want to learn the plot, the game lasts for like 3 to 4 hours, maybe even. And in the final release, we are striving to double that time. I don't know if we can achieve this, and there's also one reason why we maybe not want to make the game as long as possible, because can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes, my Xbox did something weird, so sorry about it. We don't want to make the game as long as possible, literally, because the game is heavily focused on the horror and the psychedelic elements that actually more and more intense further in the game. And we don't want to lose that tempo, actually. So if we made a lot of content that would be fit into the game would get boring with time. So if we made a 15-hour game out of this, the game would get boring like in halfway through the game.
Yeah, you want to make sure you hit that sweet spot of being long enough to still stay scary, but not burn people out or overstay its welcome.
Yes, we want to compact the experience, make it as intense as possible, but not bore out people, like you said. Yeah. So We are planning to expand it like wise from what we have right now, but it will all depend on the testing before the release, so we can actually see how people react to the content added. So, yeah.
All right. Well, my final question for you is, I would assume that you've been watching a lot of playthroughs and videos and highlights. What are some of your favorite reactions that you've seen from players?
Actually, one of my favorite is the one I talked about earlier, the guy with a teddy bear. He's like absolutely cute. But then again, I love to watch people who like go into the corner of the room because they are too scared to walk to another room, and they are like slowly going to their door, slamming it open as fast as they can, and running back down to the corner and awaiting whatever will happen. There's a lot of those people. Actually, we got some complaints that we don't have a crouch in the game implemented because most of the time they just want to go to the corner and crouch and cry. So, yeah.
Will a crouch be coming into the full version of the game?
No, it won't. We had it implemented in the early builds of the game, but didn't serve any real purpose. Like, we didn't have, air shafts that we had to crawl through or things like that. So, the crouching really seemed redundant in a way. So we have decided to leave it be. So, yeah.
So the people who want to crouch in a corner and cry, they just got to deal with it.
Or they can just go into, in real life to their corners and do that. Some of them do.
I think my favorite reaction actually happened before this interview we did today. I was, like I said, I was watching a stream and I was clicking through and I was looking at some highlight videos from different people. And this one lady was going down the one hallway with the flickering lights and the shadows. And she's like, why is everything getting weird? Why is everything getting so weird? And she opened the door where the one body is like directly behind the door. She screamed like in the loudest scream that she probably could have done on the stream. It's crackling the speakers. She runs away from the computer. You could hear her husband or boyfriend or whoever laughing his ass off in the background. And she just comes back to the computer and she says, fuck this game. This game can suck my dick, and ended the stream.
Yeah, I actually have posted this on our Facebook page.
It is so good.
I know this movie.
The reactions of people are so good. I was another one I watched 2 days ago. I was watching someone from XBLA fans play the game, and it's one of those people who hates horror anything and they get scared of every. It took her, I want to say, 45 minutes to get to the painting room for the first time.
Yeah.
When like nothing happens before then, it took her, she, every time she opened a door, she would just hit the button and go, just expecting something to happen that wasn't there. And I think that could be even funnier than when someone loses their shit at something scary. It's when they think it's going to be scary and it's nothing. And yeah. It is so fun to watch these videos.
No, if you get immersed in the game, you actually see things that are not really implemented. Like, you know, you are walking down the corridor and you have all those paintings along the walls, and a lot of people like think that when strolling through that corridor, you know, that the portraits look on you and follow your movements and stuff like that. And we get a lot of feedback like that, and we don't have it implemented in the game. Like, yeah, okay, that's cool.
Oh, I'm glad you like that Easter egg that doesn't exist.
Yes, exactly.
People, their mind plays tricks on them, and I think that's even better, is this game is so scary that it makes other people scare themselves over things that just aren't there.
Sure, sure, yeah. We really enjoy watching people playing the game.
That is the beauty of a good psychological horror game, and you guys have absolutely nailed it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you so much for making the time to come on the show. I've been so eager to talk with you. The game
No problem. Sorry for keeping you waiting for so much time.
Oh, it was worth it to me. This game is just so fantastic. I wanted to get as much coverage as possible. We've been talking about it for the past 2 weeks on the show. So it is an absolute pleasure for me that I finally got you on. I want to congratulate you guys on getting the game out, having it be an amazing game, and just showing everyone that Bloober Team is a team to just pay attention to.
Yeah, like, thank you. It's really nice to hear such words. And I can say that from our end, we will do everything we can to make the best game possible. So, yeah. Thanks, guys.
And so the game is out now on Steam. It is on sale for how long? Just through the weekend, for a week?
For the Halloween sale. I believe it's since it will last till 2nd of November.
All right, so it is on sale on Steam right now. You could get it for under $10. It is available on the Xbox One game preview. Is it
$13.99? It's $12.99.
$12.99. All right. I wasn't sure if it was $12 or $13. Do you know what the final price will be when the game is finished?
Actually, I don't know yet. We will be raising the price with the addition of new content. So if you want to play the game and actually feel like it was on a sale, then just buy it right now because the price will go up.
So yeah, the game is out now. Steam, Xbox One, grab it now before the price goes up. Enjoy the Halloween content while it's available. I guess, is there anything else you want to say? Some final words for our listeners?
I believe it's just have a happy Halloween, guys, and maybe spend some time with our games, if you wish. That will be extremely cool.
And so, not to shit your pants?
It's Halloween. Like, go ahead and shit your pants.